Welcome to this week's edition of Community Tides. I'm Chris Bricker, and on alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to explore new developments and new paradigms as our vibrant county of creative and innovative citizens continue to do good work. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you.
As always. The passage of Medicare in 1965 was historic for covering medical needs of seniors, but it also created conditions highly attractive for the providers of health care, who the government desperately wanted to accommodate. This arrangement resulted in the federal government surrendering the terms of the program and its cost to private health insurance companies, hospitals, and doctors, who would shape Medicare to maximize their profits at the expense of the taxpayers. From 1965 until today, it was a program originally designed to protect seniors from financial ruin due to medical costs, financed by the government and delivered through private doctors and hospitals. Medicare became a trough for corporations free to gorge themselves through sanctioned fraud and abuse. In the 5 decades since the passage of Medicare, the federal government has continued to accommodate health insurance companies, hospitals, and doctors. There's an event being held at Quimper Unitarian Universalist Fellowship on June 13th at 5:30 p.m., sponsored by Puget Sound Advocates for Retirement Action, or PSARA. And here to tell us more about the event and the reasons behind it are Ellen Menchu and Lori Bernstein. Ellen Menchu was born and raised in Alaska. She moved with her husband to Port Angeles in 1990, and she retired as a 9/11 dispatcher at age 41 prior to the birth of her daughter, Emily. Raising a daughter inspired and called her to activism surrounding social justice issues. As an activist, Ellen served on the board of Serenity House in Clallam County and is currently North Olympic chapter lead for the Alliance for Gun Responsibility. She also represents the 24th Legislative District as a member of the Washington State Democrats Central Committee. And believing that health care is a human right through PSARA, she is committed to saving Medicare and continuing the conversation for universal health care for all. Lori Bernstein has lived in Port Townsend for 25 years, where she's worked as a teacher, a potter, and a manager of an independent theater. Her motivation for joining PSARA as an activist in the healthcare justice movement led her to work for organizations including Whole Washington, National Nurses United, and Progressive Democrats of America. With the trend toward privatization of healthcare, the Medicare Trust Fund could be depleted by 2031. Ellen Menchu and Lori Bernstein, welcome to Community Tides.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you, Chris and Siobhan. We appreciate the invitation.
Lori, let's start with PSARA, or the Puget Sound Advocates for Retirement Action. Tell us, what is the mission of your group and who's in it?
So it is PSARA, and it does stand for Puget Sound Advocates for Retirement Action, but it's a little less of a mouthful to just say PSARA, so you're free to refer to the organization that way, if you like.
I hesitated, but thank you.
You're welcome. I want to say first that even though Puget Sound is part of the name, the organization actually goes beyond just the Puget Sound region up here onto the Olympic Peninsula as well, and we're trying to expand throughout the state. And the organization really works across generations for a number of issues, social justice, economic security, dignity, and a healthy planet for all of us. Healthcare has been a main focus for the organization, and it's how I got involved with the organization after doing work in that area with a number of other groups. And we'd really like to expand up here in Jefferson County. There's maybe a dozen people already in this area who are members, but we'd love to grow the team out here on the peninsula and in the county.
Well, Ellen, can you paint us a picture of how Medicare has evolved in relationship to the corporate structure over the years? What kinds of changes have been made that are significant since its inception?
Medicare was started in 1965, and it's publicly funded through your payroll contributions. And the intent of Medicare is to provide insurance and health care for age 65 and older. And then the, part of the Centers for Medicare Services, they also manage Medicaid for disabled or younger people. In 1999, they instituted a plan called Medicare Choice Plus, which was the beginning of allowing private insurance companies to get involved in managing Medicare and getting paid for that, essentially. With traditional Medicare, what we commonly refer to as the original Medicare, it is administered through the Centers for Medicare Services, and it pays 80%. 20% is your responsibility. And with the inception of these insurance companies and their plans, they started to promote other programs. Money still comes from the Medicare Trust Fund. They manage all the money from the payroll contributions. And then in 2003, they started the program called Medicare Advantage, also referred to as Medicare Plan C. Because it has that name Medicare attached to it, Plan C, there's a little bit of a misnomer there because it is not necessarily only administered by CMS, by the Centers for Medicare Services. It's a plan that insurance companies manage, a private insurance company, if you choose that plan, they're going to manage your care. And then in 2019, there was another privatization program that was discussed through the Trump administration through direct contracting entities. And the implementation of that didn't take place until 2023, January of this year, but it had been revised through the Biden administration, and they changed the name to ACO Reach, and that is Accountable Care Organizations Realizing Equity Access and Community Health. So it's a whole lot of information to try to get out there in this limited amount of time that we have. But essentially, Medicare, when it was instituted, was intended to be an insurance plan to cover elder people comprehensively and at minimal cost. With the allowance of these private insurers to implement their control, we have found out that it is costing the Medicare Trust Fund more money than they have to sustain the program. So essentially, we want to alert people to this crisis situation that exists right now and the threat to even maintaining and saving our traditional, our Medicare insurance plan.
Ellen, thank you for walking us through that because it is very complicated. And what is the risk at this point of privatizing? Put a little bit more of a fine point on that. What will happen if we continue not only on the road we are, but even to increase privatization of Medicare?
First, let's just say that the privatization part of it is what's costing so much money. That's the insurance companies and these investment firms now are able to glean money from the trust fund for services that maybe they're not even providing. We don't know. There's fraud that has been exposed. But essentially, at the rate that it's going right now, with the number of enrollees into the Medicare Advantage plans, the program is not sustainable. From the Centers for Medicare Services, projections are that the entire trust fund could be depleted by 2031, which means essentially, I mean, we can't predict the future, but I suppose maybe we would be calling it, there's no more Medicare, there is Medicare Advantage for all. So we really want to try to save our Medicare from profiteering.
What I'm understanding is that in 2023, right now, the floodgates are open for the big, huge conglomerate healthcare organizations to gobble up smaller ones and to be able to call the shots. Am I getting that right?
Yes. As with a lot of other issues in our society, corporations are trying to take control. They're trying to take control of the healthcare system, essentially, and limit people's choices, limit the type of coverage they're going to get, the services they're going to get, and their bottom line is a profit. They're only interested in making a profit.
Lori, what happens to your primary care physician that may be, for all intents and purposes, an employee of one of these organizations in a clinic, in one of the myriad clinics that exist under this one umbrella organization. I'm understanding that a primary care physician probably sees 30 patients a day, and the average is about 7 minutes per patient. And I think the biggest complaint, especially people coming out of medical school, is that they feel like it's just an invitation to burnout. And also, they feel like their hands are tied when they try to refer people out to get a better diagnosis. Am I getting that right?
I can speak to the referrals. I know that one of the disadvantages of Medicare, so-called advantage, is the need for prior authorizations. And so that's a difficulty that people come across when they're in these private plans. In traditional Medicare, there's generally no need for prior authorization.
Ellen, what are you all doing and what can we all do to stop the risk to Medicare? I mean, I find this absolutely terrifying.
Well, it is terrifying. And what we can do is we need to build a stronger coalition. The information is out there. So we are aware that the Medicare Trust Fund is being plundered. They're stealing money from the trust fund at the expense of patients. So many people don't even know that this exists. They go to sign up for Medicare and they're presented with an offer that says, this is how much you're going to pay for this plan. And the Medicare Advantage plans are promoted at very low to no cost for the enrollee until they find out that the level of service, as Lori alluded to, the pre-authorizations, the in-network requirements that cause them to limit the availability of doctors in their own areas, result in all kinds of medical crises and health crises. And we're finding out now that even loss of life for many people. So what the insurance companies do is they're promoting these programs as, oh, we can offer you a vision plan and a dental plan and all these, a gym membership and all this, and it doesn't cost you any more money. It costs you less money. Well, it may cost them less money initially, but it doesn't cost them less money when they find out that some of the coverages are limited. And I think one of the most recent reports that came out is the largest cause for personal debt in the United States now is medical debt. So even though they have insurance, a lot of their needs are not covered under the plans. Hospitalization stays vary. And it's a lot of detail to get into. As we said, our program, we're hoping to lay it out chronologically. This is what's happening. These are the programs that are being marketed, the comparisons between traditional Medicare, Medicare Advantage, and not only the monetary costs, but the personal costs to individuals in terms of their health care overall.
And when you say marketing, I mean, it's so antithetical to the whole idea of Medicare, which is being sort of a right to have access to good medicine. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's the original intent of Medicare.
I was going to say, in terms of the marketing, and I mean, they have a very, very aggressive marketing campaign. When that enrollment period comes around, people are swamped with advertisements that come in the mail for Medicare Advantage. Or I was just down in Northern California. There are billboards at the light rail stations. If you open one of those flyers that you receive, I'm not even eligible for Medicare yet, but I got that in the mail this year. And you open it up and it looks like it's from the government. So they use deceptive marketing practices. In terms of the other question about what can you do, I think one of the main things people can do is to get educated. First of all, learn about what's really going on with this privatization, and then take action. And there are a number of opportunities coming up. We've got a webinar. PSARA is sponsoring a webinar with Wendell Potter. It'll be this coming Monday, June 5th at 5 p.m. You can register on PSARA's website. That's PSARA.org, PSARA.org. Wendell Potter, you may or may not know, is a whistleblower. He's a former Cigna insurance person. And he's a wonderful speaker. So that's one way to get information. Then we've got the presentation coming up locally. As you mentioned earlier, Pirates of the Medicaribbean. Ellen will be a co-presenter along with Rick Timmons from Whidbey Island. That'll be Tuesday, June 13th at 5:30 p.m. here in Fort Townsend at QUUF. And then there's going to be a direct action. It's going to be a rally as part of a day of national action coordinated by Be a Hero on the birthday of Medicare. There will be information about that on PSARA's website as well. That'll be either July 31st or August 1st. The date is to be determined. And Be a Hero is an organization. Some of you may have heard of Addie Barkin. He's a wonderful healthcare justice activist, and their organization is currently collecting stories by people who have had negative experiences with Medicare Advantage. So that's an action step that people can take. If you know anyone who's had a bad experience, they will be recording those, they will be using those on social media and putting out the word so that more and more people understand what's happening right under our noses.
It sounds like also we could each of us choose regular Medicare instead of a Medicare Advantage plan. Is that right?
That's interesting. I need to put air quotes around that. That's actually one of the arguments that our senators and our own congressmen right here in Washington State make. But they make that argument that many, many people are choosing Medicare Advantage. In fact, over 50% right now. Yes, people could choose to enroll in traditional Medicare. But it is more expensive. And so what we really need to do is we need to level the playing field. We need to make sure that Medicare can offer the same benefits that Medicare Advantage right now is being allowed to offer. And they're gobbling up the money that we've all put into the Medicare Health Trust in order to be able to offer those benefits. We need to be able to offer vision, hearing, mental, dental, through traditional Medicare. We need to put a cap on the amount of money that Medicare enrollees have to pay each year. In order to do that, we need to put that message out to our senators here in Washington and across the country and advocate for that.
I think the argument on the healthcare side of it is that they have these medical professionals and they're on the boards of these organizations and they know what's better for the patient. And that's one of the talking points that you'll hear from some of the legislators in Congress in supporting these programs continuing is that they'll use the phrase quality care over quantity care, and they'll say more bang for your buck with these healthcare organizations. And that may or may not be true. I think the statistics will tell us that it is not true. And the patients will tell us that it is not true. People on traditional Medicare generally have no problem. I don't know if we can say it's more expensive. The out-of-pocket cost per month may be more expensive, but in the long run, people wind up paying more in many cases if they don't have coverage for a particular issue that they're having. Yeah, to level the playing field, it's to try to make it a little more equitable for everyone. I don't know that we'll ever get private insurance out of this equation right now until we broaden the conversation to a universal health plan. But, you know, again, it's trying to predict the future. And right now, what we want to do is save the Medicare that we have, the traditional Medicare, so that we can have those conversations to expand it, to improve it.
You can go to www.pasara.org, and we have a lot of information on our website there.
Pirates of the Medicaribbean coming up. Corporations plunder Medicare to threaten to sink it. They're not lost on the analogies there.
But one thing I do think we need to just let people know that they do have a choice. Many times the choice is being taken away from them because of the income inequality and these promotions that are being offered, but they do have a choice. And we want to make sure that they have all the information available before they sign on with Medicare. We really want to reach out to listeners who are not currently on Medicare and maybe approaching age 65 and make sure that they might want to come in and find out so that they understand every aspect as much as possible before they make that choice.
And don't forget the event that's being held at Quimper Unitarian Universalist Fellowship on June 13th at 5:30 p.m. And it's sponsored by Puget Sound Advocates for Retirement Action. Ellen Manshew and Lori Bernstein. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.